You're sitting on a winning lottery ticket and you're too scared to cash it in. And that is the challenge I have for your listeners, is what is that winning lottery ticket?
Hi, and welcome to Thrive, Connect, Contribute. I'm your host, Tony Lloyd. We tell positive stories from resilient people who thrive in life, connect with others, and contribute to the world in the face of adversity. Thanks for being with us today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome back to Thrive, Connect, Contribute, and today's guest, Jeff Harry. Now, we've been talking about resilience in the face of adversity, but what if the adversity that you face could unlock a magical journey just for you? Now, that's the kind of work that Jeff Harry is involved in. He uses a combination of positive psychology and play to unlock the possibilities. So here he is to tell the story, Jeff Harry.
Hi, I'm Jeff Harry. I am a positive psychology play speaker and coach.
Play speaker and coach. Okay, so what's a play speaker?
So I'm an advocate for play as a way in which to address some of your most challenging issues in the workplace. So I use experiential play workshops to address those really important issues.
All right. As a former learning and development pro, let's just get this out of the way. You're not one of those guys that just says, okay, you're a tree, go, right?
No, no, I do not do that. But what I do is, like, I run a workshop, for example, called How to Deal with the Toxic Person at Work, because we all have toxicity in the workplace. So I help attendees to have those hard conversations to address the toxicity at work, for example, yeah. You know, or how to create a more inclusive workplace, you know, how to have a hard conversation about race. And we use the medium of play to do it, because that kind of makes it an even playing field. And also we bring a little fun to something that usually is heavy so that we can actually really connect.
Yeah. And why is that playfulness so important then?
I think it is because when you create a play environment, almost like a playground in the workshop, you don't risk as much. You know, you're able to try and test out and fail. And I think whenever someone is trying to have a hard conversation at work, is they try to be perfect, and no one's going to be perfect. And it's actually more important to show up imperfectly. So when you see people playing with each other, especially when I'm running a lot of these workshops or even these talks, and you see people seeing each other's inner child, then they have much more empathy for each other.
Yeah, and you mentioned positive psychology. So for the uninitiated, what is positive psychology?
Sure. So it was founded by Martin Seligman, you know, less than like 30 years ago. Yeah. And what it does is it studies the other aspect of psychology. So up until probably the 1980s, psychology had only been focused on what's wrong with people. So Martin Seligman and a couple of his colleagues at UPenn were like, why don't we explore what's right with people? How do we move people instead from depression to neutral, to from neutral to flourishing? So he was all about focusing on what aspects can we help people to discover more and more. And I think when people hear positive psychology, they think of toxic positivity, where it's just like you have to be happy all the time. And it's like, no, it's none of that, actually. It's actually learning how to embrace all of the emotions at the same time. Can you be joyful and sad at the same time? Can you be angry and you know, strong-willed at the same time? Many of the things that they talk about in Pixar's Inside Out, where the ball is both emotions, that is what positive psychology is.
Yeah, I love Martin Seligman's book, Flourish, about positive psychology, and especially the audio version. There's something really cool about listening, and it's not Martin that is narrating it, but the narrator has that same kind of dry intonation that Martin Seligman has. And so positive psychology, it's really about flourishing, right? So moving from the disease-focused, the disease focus of psychology to the flourishing focus. So you are an expert on positive psychology, and your skill set is all about play and being lighthearted. So I want to contrast that to the average American right now who wakes up, turns on their phone, and just starts to doom scroll, right? They just are going down through their feed looking at all the awful, awful news. And so what can we learn from this playfulness plus positive psychology to deal with some real and heavy subjects of things that are happening in the world right now?
Absolutely. So there was a recent study done that when you read the news to start your day, I believe you're like 20 to 40% less productive. So, and on top of that, what you're doing is you're framing the day to see the world in a negative light, right? So what I usually do when I begin my days, the good days, is I make a ridiculous video. I make a lot of TikTok and Instagram videos. They're ridiculous, they're stupid, but I enjoy it because it starts my day off with play. But it also positively primes my mind so that I see every opportunity throughout the day in a playful way. And you have to be asking yourself, how are you doing that on a regular basis? You might not think the news or your epic scrolling, because you're thinking when you go to social media that you're there to connect. But instead what happens is you scroll and you start comparing and contrasting everyone, you know, and comparison as well as expectations are the thief of joy, right? So one of the biggest issues I see with adults is we're so focused on results. We're so driven on like the world has to happen this way. It has to occur this way. And if I don't get this specific result, it was a bad day, right? Yeah. And when you think of a bad day, what is a bad day? The bad day is one bad moment, maybe a few other bad moments, but it's a bad moment followed by a thought that you had, which thoughts usually last between 9 seconds and 90 seconds, but you ran that bad moment in your head thousands of times and then primed yourself to look for other bad moments throughout the day. So you have to be checking in with yourself and making yourself aware of like, what type of day do I want to have and how do I want to show up today?
Yeah, that is a brilliant answer. So thank you for that. But we're talking on this podcast about thrive, connect, and contribute, but we're talking about it in the context of resilience. So we're all going through adversity right now, and you had your own moment of adversity, and I'd like to talk about what you learned from that. So you told me a story before we started recording about a cafe, that you owned a cafe, and can you elaborate on that for a moment?
Absolutely. So, you know, I had this cafe idea, and I'm sure many of your listeners were already thinking like, oh, that's a bad idea. You already know it's a bad idea, right? I was doing it with my best friend, and we trusted someone that was going to open up the cafe, and we were simply going to be investors. And, you know, again, all of the great things, we thought it was going to be perfect. It was going to be no carbon footprint and blue bottle coffee, and it was just going to be perfect. And we were going to be, not only were you going to make a lot of money, but we also were thinking we're going to do a lot for the community because we are going to open up the space to nonprofits so that they can use it during the weekends and things like that. So we had all these like amazing dreams of what happened. And then a year and a half later, we're sitting in front of the door and we're locking it up. We're locking it up for the last time. I've lost all of my savings. I've invested probably six figures worth of income. I'm in huge amounts of debt. And I just feel like a failure. I'm just like, what was I thinking? Why did I keep doing it? Why when, you know, I should have pulled out, but I didn't. And I just was like devastated and just thought, I'm just never going to bounce back from this. I'm going to be paying off this debt for the next 20 years. And then like, I don't know, maybe it was like just a couple days later or a week later, like I woke up and I was like, you know what? I'm not dead. Like, I'm like, I haven't died. You know how like people say they're going to die. Like, I remember once talking to my niece and she says, oh my gosh, I'm going to talk to that guy. I'm going to die if I talk to that guy. And I was thinking about it because she's in a high school. And I was like, well, a part of her has to die in order for her to talk to this guy because she has to get over her fear of talking to guys. So at that moment when I was just like, I haven't died. Like, you know, I'm still alive. I still have a job that pays me. I still can bounce back from this. But also then I was like, you know what? Like, that was such a bad failure. One of my worst failures of my life. So why not just try anything now? Like, why not just try and do whatever I've always wanted to do? And I was running this Lego STEM organization at the time. It was one of the largest, like, in the country. But we had never worked with a corporation. And I was like, I'm going to start working with corporations. I'm going to work with the top ones. And I'm just going to reach out to them. And whatever they want to do, we're just going to do it. Team building events, awesome. We can break world records, awesome. You want us to build Facebook out of Lego in 6 feet? I'll figure it out. And I just started reaching out to all these places, you know, to the point that I remember once I was watching a Marvel movie. I saw the VP of Creative Services on there, and I reached directly out to that person via LinkedIn and was like, hey, let's collaborate. And they got back to me. And I just realized, I was like, dude, I can just create anything and people are willing to say yes. And I have no idea what I'm doing. No idea. And within like 2-3 years, I had developed an entire corporate wing of our organization. And now we were at, you know, Amazon's Web Services Las Vegas event, which is like one of the largest conferences in the world. And we were also partnering with Lego and traveling the country with them. And I was like, how did this happen? And it was because I just didn't really care anymore about failing because I had already failed, hadn't died. And I felt like now I'm down to do anything.
That's really interesting. It's like there are these moments when we have lost so much that our risk tolerance actually goes up, right? And you're talking about positive psychology. Sometimes we get stuck in this thought of what's the worst that could happen, but sometimes it's important to think what's the best that could happen. Just like, you know, you were watching this Marvel movie and you reach out to the VP of Creative Services. And so being able to envision that positive future, that's an important skill set, isn't it?
Oh, it's such a huge skill set. Well, I'll go in this direction. There is a guy named Kyle Cease who used to be this comedian, and then he became like this, you know, more this woo-woo thought leader. But he used to do this trick in his head, and he did it with his friend Diego, and they called it the Kai Lego exercise, where they would go to acting gigs, like, you know, tryouts, and before they did the tryout, they would describe to each other as if the tryout had already been done. And they would describe as like, oh, it was one of my best, you know, times I've ever done it. The acting performance was amazing. I was fully present. And they were like, you're awesome. And they were totally going to get you the gig. And by simply playing that trick in his mind, that Kai Lego exercise, he was able to go in with such a positive attitude that he got more acting gigs because of it. And then he started Kai Legoing like a week or a month or 6 months, where he would describe to his friends as if 6 months had already passed and was like, you wouldn't believe what happened in the last 6 months, and then describe it all. And then what's interesting is some of those things would happen because it's all pattern recognition, right? You're like looking for those positive opportunities all of a sudden. So it's just like, how do you want to reframe your mind? And even Martin Seligman said this too, is just like, not only like, what's the worst case scenario? That's what most people focus on because we have a negativity bias. That's just what our brain does, right? But not even focus on what is the best case scenario, but what's the most likely scenario too, right? Because the most likely scenario is in the middle and it's not that bad. And I think most of the time we just think it's going to be the worst that's ever going to be. And it never is that bad. It just never is.
But let's go back to your story for a second here. So you were running this cafe and it failed, and you get up in a couple of days later and you go, well, I survived that, right? But you were already in motion, right? So you already had this nonprofit. You were using Legos to teach STEM. Is that what you were doing?
It was teaching kids engineering through through Lego. Yeah.
Okay.
And I had helped when I first started. It was seven people back in 2004 when I found the person that was running it. And by the time like I was starting the cafe, it was probably 300-400 people. So we had already grown it pretty big, but I hadn't felt bold enough to really like push it to the next level. And right after that, then I was like, I wanted to try anything and everything.
So you transitioned from the nonprofit to a nonprofit working with these corporate connections. So what's your life like today? What are you doing now?
So what's interesting is because of all the corporate connections that I made during doing that work, now when I created my separate organization that is having these challenging conversations, I'm working with some of the same organizations, which has been pretty amazing. And because I failed so badly, I was more likely to take on and try these provocative workshops, like playing with your inner critic, how to deal with a toxic person at work, how to not be a racist by accident at work. I'm willing to take more risks. And because of that, most recently, my friend Gary and I received an award for being like a top 100 HR influencers by Bamboo as well as Engagely. So it's just like the risk taking has paid off because at the same time, and I was even saying this to a child the other day that was like scared of taking a risk. And it was like, she's like, I might be disappointed. I might get sad. And I was like, yes, you will. That's a possibility. But in order to really enjoy the joyful, amazing, magical moments, you also have to risk also feeling really sad at times. But it's so much better than choosing to go the numbing route where you're binge watching Netflix, you know, you're scrolling and you just don't feel very alive.
When we feel threatened, and stress is a form of threat, right? So we fight, we fly, or we freeze, and we get stuck, right? So play gives us a chance to stop feeling that stress for just a second and to allow all of that really cool stuff to sort of drop into that space.
Absolutely. And my play mentor, Gwen Gordon, says this, which I just love, is she recognized through her research that someone cannot play until they soothe themselves. They learn how to calm themselves down, right? And you actually adopt your nervous system from the person that took care of you the most. So if they had a hard time soothing themselves, you might as well. So you have to identify those ways to calm yourself. And then once you're able to calm yourself, you know, then you're able to be fully present in the moment. Then you're able to let go of results. Then you're able to fully fall into flow where you forget about time. So that's part of the things that I challenge your listeners to do is like identify what is it that will calm you, you know, so you can let go of that anxiety about the future and the regrets about the past and just be fully present in the moment and then be able to follow your curiosity. And that's when you'll be able to thrive and really connect with yourself and others.
So if you could take all of this experience and distill it down to one lesson learned, what do you think that is?
I think there's two different things that I learned. One is resonated by what Elizabeth Gilbert said, where I've never seen anyone go through personal transformation until they get tired of their own BS, right? And, you know, even in the way in which I now make videos every day now, right? But I had made a video up until COVID. And then I was called out on my BS, you know, I had to stay at home, wasn't working at that time. And I was challenged to like call myself out my own BS. So that is a huge one because there's always some story that you're telling yourself as to why you can't do it, right? And then the second thing that I think really resonated with me is that even though I'm doing this really amazing work and I'm putting it out in the world, it's not about me, right? Like I'm actually channeling some genius that might be visiting me, but I'm not a genius myself. I'm just simply channeling these thoughts, you know, and you can feel it and you know it when you say something, you're like, wow, where did that come from? I didn't even know where that was from, right? So letting go of, I think what prevents people from taking risks is they're thinking so much about what people will think of them. And first off, no one's thinking about you. They're so obsessed with themselves, right. So don't worry about right. that. Right?
Yeah.
You know, you'd be amazed how many people are not thinking about you. But then I think there's the other aspect of just simply knowing that what you're creating, someone is waiting to hear that message. And then when you're doing it for the service of others. And there's a quote that resonates with me so much. Don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive, because what the world needs is for more people to come alive. So right. It's like exploring that, because someone needs your permission to play and take a risk, but they need to see you do it first. And that is what I love about the thriving connection culture.
So Jeff, if people are looking for Jeff Harry online or on social media, where would they look?
They can find me at rediscoveryourplay.com. And then also I make all my ridiculous videos at the handle Jeff Harry Plays, JeffHarryPlays. And I'm on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn.
So Jeff, what's something you would call on listeners to go and do as a result of this conversation?
Absolutely. I would goodwill hunt your listeners.
Oh, so, wow. What does this mean? I'm scared to ask.
I know. So if you've seen the movie Goodwill Hunting, and even if you haven't, at the end, so the movie's all about Matt Damon being a genius and whether or not he's going to step into that or not, right? And at the near the end of the movie, he's sitting there with Ben Affleck at a construction site, which they're both working on. And Matt says to Ben, he's just like, I'm going to be here with you for the next 20 years, and we're going to raise our kids and watch them play baseball at Foley Field. And Ben turns to him and says, if you're here in 20 years, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And Matt's like, what are you talking about? He's just like, what? Do I owe it to myself? And he's like, no, you don't owe it to yourself. You owe it to us. You owe it to me. Because anyone would get anything to be in the position that you have. You're sitting on a winning lottery ticket and you're too scared to cash it in. And that is the challenge I have for your listeners, is what is that winning lottery ticket? Because this is the moment. You don't have much time in this world. So how do you want to fully show up? And know that if you actually cash in on that winning lottery ticket, there's also someone that's waiting for you to show up so they can show up. So it's time to show up.
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for being with us on Thrive, Connect, Contribute.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Thrive, Connect, Contribute. You can find show notes, bonus material, and more at thriveconnectcontribute.com. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll see you next time on Thrive, Connect, Contribute.